In the beginning, there was an unstoppable plan. An arrangement that was so outrageous that all nature was created just to accomplish its ends. And the whole vastness of uncreation, the whole expanse of non-existence, couldn't impede our insuppressible God from creating a universe out of his simple insistence. For that which may look like an obstacle is really just proof that our God is unstoppable. And ours is a history filled with obstacles. From the lies of the serpent to whom God promised his heel, to the fruit of the tree that he promised would kill, from the murderous Cain that brought forth Abel's crying blood, to the worldwide epidemic of sin that called down the flood, from the massive Red Sea that stood in Israel's way, to the chariots that pursued her so that she may be slain, from the mocking giant that stood between David and his crown, to the giant walls of Jericho that without a touch came tumbling down. From wild beasts like Daniel's lions and Jonah's enormous fish, nothing can stop our God from doing all that he may wish. Because that which may look like an obstacle is really just proof that our God is unstoppable. And nowhere is this truth more true than in the truth of Emmanuel. Because it truly is incalculable to try to count the number of plans that had to take place for God to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. But neither Mary or the manger or Herod or his wise men were outside the woven fabric of God's forbearing intention. From the womb that bore him to the hands that raised him, from the coins that bought him to the lips that betrayed him, from the cords that bound him to the crowd that abased him, from the whips that scourged him to the crown that debased him, from the nails that held him to the cross that slay him, everything that man and Satan could do to subdue him was only and always part of God's plan to do through him. Because even in the crucifixion, that which may look like an obstacle is really just proof that our God is unstoppable. For even as he lay in the grave, God's power became uncomfortable. Because death laying claim to our God is absolutely unsuitable. So he altered the unalterable, revoked the irrevocable, made vulnerable the invulnerable. God made death and his grave the main stage for his most remarkable surprise. He made the end of life its beginning through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. So now, neither death, sin, nor Satan, not man or the wars he wages, not powers, leaders, or thrones, not martyrdom, tortures, or woes, not our apathy, greed, or hypocrisy, not the plans or strongholds of the enemy, nothing can shake the unshakable inevitability of our God's mighty intent. Because anything that even seems with God's plans to contend are really just the means by which he is accomplishing his ends. So may we never forget to ponder the imponderable fact that whatever God plans is completely unavoidable, because that which may look like an obstacle is really just proof that our God is unstoppable.
Amen. You agree with that? Amen. That which may look like an obstacle is really just proof that our God is unstoppable. It's the power of God. And the power of God in your life, in my life. Would you say, just rhetorical question, and we're going to talk in just a minute, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, if you have your Bibles and you want to go there, we're walking verse by verse through the book of Colossians. We're halfway through the year and we're on Colossians 1, verse 9. What's that tell you? It's been a year, though. You know that. And it's only 6 months over. So we're going to talk in just a minute about the power of God in Colossians chapter 1, how Paul is praying that these Colossians would be strengthened with the power of God. But let me just ask you a question, just rhetorical answer to yourself. Would you say that in your life, let's just say now, today, in your walk right now, would you say that you are experiencing, walking in the power of God in your everyday life right now? Are you experiencing that? Walking in that? I think all of us, I know I do at times. I've had seasons and days that sometimes turn into weeks that we're just worn out. Have you ever been to that place? You're just tired. You're worn out. It might be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. It can be circumstantially related, but you come to a place where you're just tired. And maybe you feel tired all the time. You're just worn out. I think we all get there, but the key is this, my friends, that God does not want us to live there. We have those times, but God never intended for you to live in that state, that place. It happens, I know, for me and for us when I just maybe run ahead and I don't even realize it at times, but I'm living in just my own power. In my own strength. It wears me out at times. Maybe you too. So we don't want to miss this. I think it's important for us to understand what does the Bible say to us about walking in, living in, experiencing the power of God in our life, the God way God intended for that to be and for us to experience it. This is what Paul is praying because he knows the importance of it. This is the prayer, Colossians 1 in just a minute. This is the prayer he's praying for the Colossians. And today it's going to be that they would be strengthened with the power of God. One writer says this, so let me read this before we jump into it. He says, the Christian life isn't a standard of performance or a code of ethics. It's a vital relationship with a loving God. Our reconciliation with God is totally dependent on what God has done through Christ. In the same way, the ability to live a dynamic Christian life also comes totally from God. Because we are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit's indwelling, we have all we need to live as a new creation in Christ. But to live according to our new identity in Christ, we must continually live in the power of the Spirit of God by faith. That's the space in which we want to live. We have days, we will live in that place of walking in the power of God through the Spirit of God. Colossians 1, thank you so much for being here today and worshiping with us. And online, thank you for joining us online. We still have a lot of people that are worshiping with us online, so we always want to just remember and acknowledge and thank you for tuning in and for watching with us here, Grace Point Church Online. So many Christians, I think, today, so many live daily with no sense of the spiritual power in Christ that the Bible tells us resides in us as believers. We're far more aware of our weaknesses and inabilities than we are about the strength of God that resides, the Bible says, in us. And so Paul prays in Colossians 1. He speaks of it in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 about the power of God that resides in us. I've heard about it. I've read it. I've listened to people like this guy. The video we talked about, the demonstration of God's power to overcome obstacles, true. But are you experiencing it? Are you living in that? For life and for parenting and for marriage and for jobs and for just to do, are we living in that? Paul knew the importance of it. He prayed it for the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, let me just start reading verse 9, and then we're just going to step down on verse 11 and kind of frame up verse 11 today as he continues this prayer. Okay, he's still praying. That's the context for these Colossians. And he says in verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we've taught on that. Now verse 11, as he continues the prayer, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all an endurance and patience with joy." Now we'll talk about that next week. For all endurance and patience with joy. Okay, we know that's not going to happen. We're not bent that way, are we? To endure, which usually means hard, and patient, which is challenging, and do it with joy. We know if that's going to happen, go back to the first part. Pray for strengthening, right? So Paul knows that these Colossians, to face what they're facing, to endure what they must endure, he knows that they need the strength of God, same for us, to face what God has called us to face, to do what God has called us to do. We are reminded again today that this is not something we do in our own strength. If we get outside of it, of the power and strength of God, then we start to wear down. We start to get discouraged. We start to get defeated. So what does that look like in terms of takeaways? So I want to, verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So takeaway number one is this. Here's where we start. I think we must realize, first of all, that the strength of God in your life is more than enough to do the will of God for your life. So whatever it is God has called you to do, the strength of God in you is more than enough to do the will of God for you. So whatever it is you're facing today, like God will strengthen you, not only just to endure, as we're going to see, and be patient with joy, but also, I think, also to overcome. Worthy of the gospel, to live in that way. And that's going to happen by us being strengthened, as he says here, being strengthened with all power. The strength of God in your life is more than enough to do the will of God for your life. So in the Roman world, spiritual power especially was a big deal, man. It was a key issue in the Roman world. People sought power through the connection with pagan gods and pagan rituals so that they believed at that time it would protect them from evil spirits. It would help them, they believed, to acquire wealth and influence. And so they would pray for this power. Paul wants the Colossians to know that he's praying for them regularly, that God would impart his power to them. Now, here's the difference. Listen, here's the key. Not for selfish reasons, but so they might live in a way that is worthy of the gospel. The strength of God, praying the strength of God to them. Now, let me make just two things on this word, and then we're going to move on, but I think it's important. Two things on the word strengthen. So in the original language, it's written in the present tense and the passive voice. Let me just tell you why that's important. Sometimes it's good to pause and to understand the fullness of it. So it's written in the present tense, strengthened, he said, that they would be strengthened. It indicates that believers are to be continuously strengthened. So present tense means it's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-time deal. Continuously strengthened. God does that for you. So present tense, and the second is passive voice, indicates that the strengthening comes from without, an outside source. Okay, that's important. And we know it's coming from God. So this is important to understand. Paul is not saying, he's not praying for it, he's not saying to you and I to strengthen yourselves as if the power is inherently ours. Just be stronger. I mean, there's sometimes, yeah. But that's not what's happening here. He's not praying for them. I just wish they would be stronger in their beliefs and their faiths and their conviction, God. That's not what he's praying. He doesn't say strengthen yourselves. It's similar to Ephesians 6:10, where Paul prays that they would be strong, and here's the key, in the Lord. That's what he's praying for them. That they would be strong in the Lord. You pray for your children that they would be strong in the Lord. For yourself, for your husband, for your wife. To be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Strong in the Lord. The strength of God in your life that God wants for you is more than enough to do the will of God, even the hard stuff. For your life. So understand today then that whatever it is you're facing, whatever obstacles we've already heard, whatever obstacle may be before you, whatever path is before you, whatever God has in front of you, that the Bible is clear. Paul's praying this and other scriptures consistent with the Bible is clear that God will empower you through it. He empowers you, and then you're able to walk through that, whatever that may be. And I know some of it's hard, difficult stuff. It just reminds us how much we need Jesus and how much we need the strength and the power of God. That's what he wants, for us to have dependence upon him completely. And sometimes the hard situations lead us to that place. And we recognize that we need to be praying this prayer. I mean, just think about when is the last time you prayed? I have to ask myself that I pray. So you pray scripture. There's great power in scripture because we know we are praying the will of God when we pray scripture. So when have you prayed? And I ask myself, when have I prayed this prayer that for my wife or my children, that they would be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, God, or even that you for yourself. That I'm praying that. Maybe that's the takeaway of you today, is that you start praying that for yourself or for your husband, for your wife, for your kids, that they would be strengthened. Just like Paul's praying for the Colossians, man, he knew they'd need it. And he's praying that they would be strengthened with all power, not their power. He's talking about God's power. So that's where we begin to recognize that the strength of God to us in our life, more than enough to do what God has called me to do, the will of God for your life. Being strengthened with power, and I look at the next part of this verse, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Takeaway number two is this. We must realize that the strengthening is on God's scale, not yours. So ask him. Ask him. The strengthening that Paul is praying is not on God's scale. It's on God's scale, not on yours. So what we need to do, and I do this a lot, so I have to preach to myself today, is when I look at obstacles or I look at circumstances or I look at what is before me, I have to stop seeing that situation and evaluating it on my own abilities, my own strength, my own power to endure, to overcome. Because when I do that, it can be very overwhelming, especially when we're tired, especially when we're discouraged, especially if we're walking through a time of depression and we don't have the strength, right? And then we just look at it just solely in my own strength and my own power, what is before me. That's discouraging. God didn't intend for it to be that way. It also leads us to great anxiety. I've shared before on anxiety, number different ways to kind of describe it, but I wrote this one down this week. Anxiety is imagining the future without God's grace. Anxiety is imagining the future without God's grace. We could add without God's grace, without his power. That makes us anxious, and we do that many times. We think ahead and we run ahead. We put ourselves down the road, and it's typically without God's grace and without God's strength. It must be God's glorious might. It's not on my scale. Strengthening is on God's scale. Now, that's kind of the beginning point. Now, here's the question. Okay, biblically, we understand this, that he's praying and that there are scriptures, Ephesians 1, 3, and others that support this theological truth that the Spirit of God and the power of God resides within us. So then here's the question I ask myself. I get that. I understand that. How do I experience that, man? How do I walk into that, to live that? So as I go to work tomorrow and I face this, this overwhelming situation, or in my marriage, this overwhelming struggle, or physically, or whatever it may be that is before me. I want to walk in the power of God through it. But how then do I do that? And that's what I want to finish with today. I'm going to give you takeaway number three. Let's go there. I think certainly realizing the strengthening is on God's scale, not ours, that is the beginning point. And then as we move forward, that's where it starts. Then the second thing I would say to you, takeaway number three, though, but kind of the first thing is recognize it's on God's scale and not mine. The second thing we have to do to really experience it is I think we have to move forward in faith. Right, we move forward in faith. As we move forward in faith, we begin to experience the strength and power of God. James chapter 1, verse 22. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Bible says David ran toward the giant in faith. And when he did, what happened? He experienced the power of God. Do you think he would have ever experienced the power of God if he stays back here with the other guys huddled up? Peter experienced the power of God in dramatic ways. You think he would have experienced that kind of power of God in a dramatic way in that situation if he just stayed in the boat? But he moved forward in faith. The man born blind walked to the pool, had to walk to the pool to wash his eyes. In faith, he moved. So we walk in it. We must, by faith, move forward and trust God. I would never know the power of God to preach a sermon until I actually move from that chair up here, open my Bible, and begin to speak. That's why I know the power of God. To move forward in faith. You will never know the power of God demonstrated and experienced in sharing your faith, the gospel, until you One day, share that faith. And then you experience the power of God as you move forward in faith. You will never know the power of God to forgive the one that you don't want to forgive until you step forward in faith and say, I choose to forgive them. The strengthening, the power of God to strengthen you as you move forward in faith. So Tony Evans is a pastor in Dallas, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. I love to hear him teach, and I've read some of his books and hear him preach. And so this idea kind of moving forward in faith, I came across this video that he says it really well. So I'll share it with you today.
As I've said before, in the rooms around the sanctuary, we've had to install motion detector lighting because people were leaving lights on. It was costing us too much electricity bills, and so we had to do something. So we installed motion detector lighting. You walk in the room, the light pops on. You walk out of the room, the light goes off so that we're not wasting electricity with folk leaving lights on. You walk in, the light comes on. You walk out, the light goes off. There's power in the room. There's lighting in the room. But it will not manifest itself until it detects movement. If there is no movement, that doesn't mean there's no power. That doesn't mean there's no light. That means that you haven't given it any motion. You haven't triggered it. God is real. God has power. God makes promises. But you won't see it until he sees motion. If there is no motion, it lies dormant, although it's really there. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so.
Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Amen? Motion, moving forward in faith, activates the power of God. Now, the last one is this. I think many times, not the only time, but many times it happens in times of weakness. In times of weakness, we experience the strengthening of God in our lives. So takeaway number four, the last one is this. I think we have to come to a place, not easy to do, but that we welcome weakness. We welcome. We don't run from it, which we want to do, try to hide it, but we welcome weakness. And the reason why is because I want to show you the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that in the context of that weakness, we can experience in a greater way the power of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Let me read this. Familiar for many, but maybe new for some. And I want you to, I write in my Bible all the time, and so I've underlined, I've highlighted in verse 7. He says, as it starts, listen to this. So to keep from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. And then he's finishing verse 7 with the way he started. To keep me from becoming conceited. So he started with that and he ended that verse. That tells me, okay, I need to look into that, right? I'm going to take time to really do that today. But one of the truths there is when I am conceited, when I am prideful, I don't really need God. I'm okay. So I'm not going to experience his power. It's in humility when we acknowledge our need, usually prompted by weakness, that we experience even in greater ways the power of God. As he goes on and he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, talking about this thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. So rest, dwell, linger, take up residence is what that word means. Not just fleeting, but it rests upon me. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So God hears Paul's prayer and in essence was saying to Paul, I've given you everything you need to come out of this situation victoriously. And even though, as we see here, this weakness of the thorn is called a messenger of Satan, the purposes were clearly not Satan's. So God is overruling Satan's design with his own. Now, let me say this before I move on to the last part here. So clearly, there are times when we pray, just like Paul did, for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. And the answer is no. Now, if you stop there, like I have a few times, you will be discouraged. So you have to read on through that passage like we just did. And what we learn there is this. If the thorn stays, the grace increases. Don't forget that part. If the thorn stays, we see the grace increases. My grace is sufficient. Kind of goes back to the first takeaway. More than enough. The power of God, the grace of God. And in that time of weakness is when we see the power of God manifested, perhaps even in the greatest ways. If we yield, the greatest demonstration of God's power in your life will always be at your weakest moments. If we choose to yield to God, we're strengthened. John Piper, who I quote a lot, and I read him a lot, books, articles, just a great man of God. He was a pastor for 33 years, teacher, theologian. Most pastors look to John Piper. He is just well known as a godly man and just a great mentor. He is currently the chancellor of Bethlehem College and Seminary, and just a great theologian. And so I was reading a few weeks ago one of the articles he's written about weakness. And so I was really, the first time I knew this, as much as I followed this guy for probably 15 years or so, he's writing about don't waste your weakness. And he says this and begins to talk about himself and his weakness. Okay, now again, this is this great theologian that God's used and continues to use in great ways. But listen to what he says. He says this. I'll use myself as a simple example. He says, I read slowly, about as fast as I speak. He says, many people read 5 or 10 times faster than I do. He says, I tried for years to overcome this weakness with special classes and books and techniques. After about 2 decades of bemoaning the weakness, I saw there would be no change. He says, this is one reason I left college teaching in the academic life. I knew I could never be what scholars ought to be, widely read. First time I read that, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This guy? He goes on and says, what did it mean for me to identify and exploit this weakness? He says, it means first that I accept this as God's design for my life. He says, I will never read fast. It meant I stopped complaining about it. It meant that I take my love for reading and do with it what I can for the glory of God. If I can only read slowly, I will do all I can to read deeply. I will exploit slowness. I will ask Jesus to show me more in reading little than many see in reading much. I will ask Jesus to magnify his power in making my slowness more fruitful than speed. And in realizing that I cannot read many books, I will pour my limited scope into reading one book better than any other. the Bible. He says, if I must read fewer of many books, then I will read more carefully the greatest book. He finishes by saying this. He says, if I had angrily resented God all these years, that he did not let me be a comprehensively well-read scholar, I would not have exploited this weakness. I would have wasted it. So this year, don't focus too much on finding your strengths. Give attention to identifying and exploiting your weaknesses. God has not given them to you in vain. Identify them, accept them, exploit them, magnify the power of Christ with them. Don't waste your weakness. Welcome weakness, for it is there that we experience the strength and the power of God. Welcome weakness. Psalm 23, I preached on that a couple years ago, and I still kind of come back to that every once in a while because I continue to read that just in my own kind of separate devotion time and study time. And every time I do, man, there's more and more. It's such a personal psalm. I would say that perhaps one of the reasons it's so loved and so universal is because it's so personal. When you read through Psalm 23, I put up here, and when you go through, which I did, you see I circled there are 28 personal pronouns. Psalm 23. That's a personal psalm. I think that's why people love it. One of the reasons why people love it so much. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, think about Psalm 23. And again, as I finish, we're talking about the power of God strengthening us. Psalm 23 is written in the present tense. You see that? So it implies then that God is doing something now. Now. It's not a promise to claim. It's a reality to experience. And this is the power of God too. It's a reality to experience. One writer said, our Lord is a shepherd whose presence is instant, immediate, and accessible. Every single day, every single moment, every single hour. It's the presence and the power of God to strengthen us. Let's pray together. Will you bow with me? Bow your heads for just a moment. I want to read these verses. And as I read just a few verses, listen to the verses and notice the verb is. Is. The present tense, the now. Genesis 28, surely the Lord is in this place. Exodus 15, the Lord is my strength and my song. Deuteronomy 33, the eternal God is your refuge. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Romans 8, God is for us. 2 Corinthians 9, God is able. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. So, Father, thank you for your presence here among us today, for your power that resides in us every moment of every day. Pray through our time this morning that we will be in step, in tune, more aware. And we move forward in faith. We recognize it's not our strength, but your strength in and through us. Help us to live in that reality, to walk in that place. And thank you, Father, that you are our shepherd. you lead us well. And we are thankful for your presence here in this place today. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Grace Point Church Online. Thank you for worshiping with us and joining us. I want to encourage you to come back next week. Join us again, 8, 10, and 12. And pray that you have a good week. And I look forward to seeing you back here next Sunday morning. All right, Grace Point Church, just stand with me. Will you stand with me? I want to pray for you. And after I pray, you'll be dismissed. We're going to head out the back doors after we're finished this morning. Okay, so thank you so much for being here. So, Father, thank you for these people. And I thank you for your word, Lord, that continues, God, to restore us and to renew us in so many ways. Father, I pray that this morning. And I pray, God, that you will continue to teach us what it means, God, to walk in your strength, to walk in your power. May we be diligent to pray that for others and for us. And may we find hope in knowing, God, that whatever you call us to do, you will strengthen us to accomplish. We are grateful. Thank you for this day and for this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.